Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
Welcome to our podcast of All About Relationships. This is episode number 57. Thank you for taking some time and just joining with us. I believe that this will be extremely beneficial for you.
I do too. We're really talking about, I love the word navigation, Bob, because we're all navigating, you know, through the unknown right now. We're navigating through the fact that we're home a lot these days,
right,
and not seeing a ton of people, but we're also navigating through the emotions that come with that. You know, we're just talking to a lot of people that have anxiety and and rage. You know,
let's
just get right to the emotions. And
a lot of people are enjoying it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
But as well, there are, I mean, we're living in a different world. I remember when we started, you know, with the podcast and, you know, continue with the podcast, you know, weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in my own mind, I was thinking, you know, give it a few months and this will blow over. Well, here we are now almost, you know, 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like life isn't going to go back, you know, to the way it was. You know, we will live with a new normal. And so, again, I get to choose who I will be. I'm not going to allow circumstances or society to dictate, but I'm going to choose for me and for us and for our family. And boy, we're just going to keep loving others, loving each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get down to the most simple things, loving each other and loving others. And I think you and I have talked about those words, proactive and reactive.
Well, no, yeah,
and
but
I want to be, okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, I want to be proactive, but you know, you just threw out the word again and again. And
what did I do?
So have I. Just that word love.
Yes.
You know, you just throw that out and, you know, it's like, I love pizza and I love ice cream, but I love you. And
mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wait a minute. What do you really love? Where do you really place value?
Cookies.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm listening to you, Bob.
Yes.
But you're right. Yes.
But again, I think there is a squeeze that is going on.
Yes.
And, you know, what's on the inside gets revealed. So I just want to say, you know, for me, over this past weekend, we had our son visiting from Portland.
Yes, that's
and
right. Christopher
I
was
loved
here.
Having him here.
Oh, my gosh.
And
thank
so
you for bringing that up.
Anytime that you have family together,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you recognize what really matters.
It was really interesting when our son came here because we don't see him, you know, maybe several times a year, but, you know, not that many times
not
a year.
Not enough for you.
No, because I'm a mama. All the mamas out there going, I understand you, Audrey. I love it when our adult children come back for visits.
Yeah.
And, but he came back and we actually met at a grocery store so that we could buy groceries for what we were going to make for the weekend meal. And he goes, I'm driving 6-8 hours from LA, but let's just meet at the grocery store. I said, great. We pulled up at the exact same moment,
mm-hmm.
parked right beside each other. And then we went grocery shopping. And I said, you know, what's really weird is that I feel like I'm with you every day because you are in my heart.
Right.
So we didn't have a conversation of like, I can't wait. I can't believe I'm in the same space
as
you.
But the two of you do share intimate conversations.
We have intimate conversations so much throughout the year. And we understand each other and get each other so that when we can just go grocery shopping, it feels like, oh, we're just doing this every day. It's amazing how you can feel connected and then all of a sudden space and time, you know, doesn't matter as much.
Another thought with regards to love, and this happened last week, and I just want to let y'all in on it, and that is, Audrey, your parents, our parents, celebrated their 62nd wedding anniversary.
Yeah, they're getting old.
they are the youngest 82-year-olds you could ever
meet. They live
meet.
On the corner of happy and healthy. That's mm-hmm. where they're parked right there between happy and healthy, 82 yep. 2 years old, and you'd never know it by looking at them.
So they planned a party.
Yes.
Okay. They planned a party, which meant you, me, Robert, and our daughter, Dan and Janelle. Yeah. That's it.
The same, I mean, same five people we've been seeing for the last several months.
That's all.
But she made it a party.
But we made it a celebration.
We really
absolutely
did. We changed the china. We changed the menu.
The flowers.
And the flowers,
meals.
And
the dessert. She made dessert. It wasn't a dinner, but she made multiple desserts.
Everybody's favorite dessert.
Yeah.
And she brought the, and my daughter Janelle brought the questions. Yeah. She said, I'm going to ask Nanny Grandpa questions of cool things that I've always wanted to know, like how did it, what was one word to describe your first kiss, you know? And my dad just lit up like a Christmas tree and said,
he said he couldn't remember
the very first one, but it was definitely electric was the word. And it was just fun to hear them just reminisce and talk about their lives together, but talk about how the hardship times came too, and they just said, you know what, love never fails. And my mom read through 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah. And
they made a family video, a video, you know, to share with the family that weren't able to be there, of just the things that they value most.
Yes. And that the fact that love is patient and love is kind and love does not get angry or keep records of wrongs.
1 Corinthians 13. And again, I think, you know, we're in that time of year where everyone, many, 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 are celebrating their wedding anniversaries. Mm-hmm. And so many have had that portion of scripture, you know, read, you know, where love is patient and kind. Mm-hmm. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Mm-hmm. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out.
That's
love
awesome.
Never gives up. I like that. Verse 7.
Yes.
Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always is hopeful, endures through every circumstance.
Wow.
But to hear your parents at 82 years old with 62 years of marriage, all of a sudden, that verse carried a lot of weight.
It was a holy moment. I think, do you guys know what I mean when I say holy moment? We're just the five of us in their little condo and all these desserts. And my mom just said, we've been thinking about this moment a lot. Oh, I'm getting kind of emotional because we're going to make it special. And she said, I want to read something and proclaim this over our family and our generations, that love is kind and love is patient and not easily angered. And, you know, it really brings us to what we want to talk about today, because we've been getting a lot of questions and concerns.
Yeah. But I wanted to read verse 7.
Okay.
And this is out of the Passion Translation.
Yeah.
Because I think it's worth it. It says this, love is a safe place of shelter. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never...
Isn't that what we all want that.
We want to be that for each other.
I want that from you, and I want to be that for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
So good. For it never stops believing the best for others.
Oh.
Now, that is powerful.
Wow.
I mean, if you want to make 62 years of marriage, never stop believing the best of the other.
Oh.
I just
seriously, like, drop
I'm
the mic.
Emotional.
Like, that's a drop the mic moment right there.
You. And then it goes on and it says, love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we'll fail each other. We'll make mistakes, but we will not quit. We will not give up on each other. We will not be defeated, because defeat is that place of despair where there's no hope. And if there's anything that I want you to hear from us today as we continue, you know, through this podcast, is that we want to be a voice of hope for you in your relationships, in your family, husbands, wives, parents, children, you know, cousins, brothers, sisters. Relationships is what we have. We were, you know, just visiting before we came into the office to make the recording, and I was just, you know, expressing to you how I struggle with so much uncertainty, you know, in the world. And there's, you know, people are wanting to book us, you know, in upcoming events. And it's just like, will it happen? You know, will we be able to travel? Will we be able to make those events?
Right.
Just so many, I guess, uncertainties. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Are we going to go here? And it's just like, wait a minute, take a step back. And just pause for a moment and reflect on the things that you do know and mm-hmm. what we do have, and recognize that you are more of an influencer in the world that you're living in, mm-hmm. you know, in your home, you know, wherever you are, you can influence the world where you are.
So true.
And so I just want you to know, don't give up, because love never fails.
You know what? And when I think about that, Bob, what do I do know to be true? Like when we were talking about those uncertain times, I know I love you, Bob, and I love the
people. Thank you, baby.
And I love the people who are listening right now. And I really, I don't know why I'm so emotional, but I really, really want to give you the list, like you who's listening. I want to give you solutions that aren't just answers that you get from Google. Like, I want you to feel really loved by God. I want you to feel understood. I want you to feel validated, because sometimes you may feel very desperate and alone and disoriented and impatient. And I want to really tackle some of the tough questions that we've been getting from you, because life is real. The struggle is real, as they say. And so, Bob, I did want to read something that somebody purchased our Great Marriages Start Here course, and they just responded.
Do you know where they're from?
Yeah, from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. I like that city.
It's actually Kara from Denver, Colorado. And she says, my husband and I are slowly working through the course. The first section is almost completed, mm-hmm. but want to invite your counsel. So they made an appointment with us.
Good.
As they continue to experience the love of God individually and then share it with each other. And then she said, kind of rocky at times, to say the least, but we're both very willing to move forward, and things are not as out of control as they were before. And so I want to take this podcast, we've been talking about this, but let's talk about losing control when it comes to anger and rage, because so many people want to be warm and loving and patient, but they find themselves out of control.
Yeah. We were just having breakfast this morning, and again, our son visiting from out of town, he drove from LA in, and we were talking about how the squeeze, you know, COVID-19 has put the squeeze on people. And it's like people are running out of rugs to sweep things under.
What you're saying. We just want to sweep it under the rug. Right. Can't we just sweep this under the rug?
And then you were saying, like, I've run out of rugs.
There's no more rugs.
There are no more
rugs.
We're
just sweeping the mess around everywhere we go. We were kind of laughing about how that would look.
So to be able to hear this couple say we're slowly working through it. And I remember, you know, when the pandemic first, you know, began to affect us, and people were being, you know, on lockdown. So what we offered was the Great Marriages Start Here e-course. It's a video e-course, and we just made that. So I'm very thankful that they're working it through. So if you purchased it and started, just go back, mm-hmm. revisit, and mm-hmm. just work your way through slowly, because it will help you, you know, reestablish or even establish for the first time those necessary foundations.
Yeah. So as you listen today, I know you've made an investment of your time, and we want to make it worth your investment, because you taking the time to have this with us we really honor that. And we want to offer you experience that we get just from being with the people and couples who are walking this journey and feeling that disconnect from each other. Because we meet couples who are hurting each other with angry words and harsh words and stonewalling, and they deep down they want to be warm and loving and patient and kind, like the scripture, but in their desperate moments they feel like they've been injected with a needle of anger. I had actually had a word picture. I know it's kind of extreme or dramatic, but I just am kind of extreme and dramatic. But sometimes when anger almost feels like there's been an injection, like a needle into you, and then you have to let it run its course until it runs out, you know, and you think, what do I do in the meantime, when there's this urge to punish this person because there's been an injustice? Or what do you do when this wave comes through and you just want to get rid of it? And so I think that we're just going to navigate through some of this today.
Okay, good. I hope so. Yeah, you painted quite a dismal picture there.
Super scary picture. But basically that word, like, I don't want to be a scary person,
you know?
And we want to be that extremely safe place and believe the best in each other.
Yeah, anger in all of its levels, you know, from mild irritation all the way up to rage, are more than just behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if all you're trying to do is curb the behavior, you'll miss it. it, you know,
you'll get even more angry.
Mm-hmm. And what we teach is that, you know, fear always controls.
Mm-hmm.
And at the root of it, because, you know, this mild irritation, rage, anger, frustration, whatever it might be, is always rooted or seated in a fear
mm-hmm.
that we have. And so I've heard, you know, young children or people express, you know, I didn't get angry. And they link it directly to behavior.
Right.
I didn't get angry.
As a child, I never got angry.
I didn't throw the toy.
Yeah.
I didn't punch the wall. I didn't slam the door. I didn't, you know, go marching out of the house. I didn't get angry. Meanwhile, all you've done is
suppressed. Yes.
And there it festers.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we want to bring some creative solutions with regards to managing, not just managing, but dealing with anger. Because, I mean, we all have frustration. We all will reach that place, but then what will we do with it?
Yeah, and I think one of the first smart questions we can ask is, why are you feeling angry? And you might, the first answer to because he, or because she, or because they. But can I just let you offer this first solution, just to go inward and say, why are you feeling angry? Probably because you feel desperately unheard, and you probably don't feel validated in your pain. So now you're recognizing your own feelings rather than making about what that person did. It's because of how you feel.
Yeah, and let me just really put a general term on that,
sure.
Audrey,
yeah.
Rather than a he, she,
yeah.
You know, conflict, because I want people to be able to deal with their anger individually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when it's a he, she thing, then a lot of times they'll link it to,
yes,
I'm feeling this because of, or
yes,
he or she or they.
Or if
or
I'm
them.
Feeling an angry, and then it's obviously a couple thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I what we must do is take personal responsibility here.
Immediately.
And we mm-hmm. must grow in maturity and develop proven character.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that is the most important here. So I think what happens is that a lot of people, they come up against obstacles.
Hmm.
Okay. An obstacle that they're not able to overcome.
Yeah.
That's all that
it
is.
You know what? That is so true. I think of times when
it's
I get
obstacle.
Impatient. I don't know what
yes.
to do in here.
Right.
In this feeling, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how
yeah.
to talk.
I've had people, you know, sitting in our office here, and the anger that comes up simply because there's an obstacle that another person is experiencing, mm-hmm. but they're taking on the offense themselves,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, I need to overcome this. I need to fix this. I
yeah.
need to do this for you. I need, you see, and all of a sudden the other person is just like, wait, you know, I didn't ask for you to do this for me.
Yeah.
So it's an obstacle, you know, that you're.
And can I make it personal? Like, we
sure.
had a small scale of this morning because I was feeling a certain feeling around you. It was kind of quiet. And so then I didn't know what to do sometimes in your quietness because I'm so expressive. And so then I just started.
She moves to a land of guessing.
I moved to that crazy land, you guys. As soon
what
as
are you thinking? What's
going on,
what
Bob? You're not
wrong?
Talking.
Did
I do something to hurt you?
Yeah,
like, or are you bugged by me right now because I'm so this and that? Anyway, I said to him, I said, it's because I get uncomfortable. And this is after how many years? 36 years of marriage. And I'm still learning how to navigate when this happens. Is I said, I feel uncomfortable when you're quiet because I don't know what I should do. And he's like, and then we got to
sure.
it.
Sure. But the question
because
is,
you said, I came to an obstacle.
Sure. How will you overcome the obstacle?
The obstacle. Right.
Okay. And so if all you're going to do is get aggravated, let's say you, someone gives you a key to a door and, hey, you're welcome. You know, go please use the room. You get there and that key doesn't work.
Right.
Okay. So a minor grade of frustration.
Right. And for me, it was a grade of impatience.
Sure. But what will you do? Are you good? Are you just going to throw a fit over this?
Right.
Or are you going to find a solution?
Well, I decided to my first reaction was to overplease and say, what can I do? What can I do? That was not loving, just to let you guys know. But because then I was making it about Bob. And instead, I made it about me. And then I said, I'm uncomfortable right now because I don't know what you need or how we can move forward. And so, in other words, together we identify the obstacle. This is what the obstacle we have right now.
Yeah. But before it's ever an irritation or frustration, anger, rage, you know, all of these are forms of anger. Mm-hmm. Before that, it does begin with a thought.
Yes, it does.
There is a thought. So what have you been thinking about? Mm-hmm. You know, what have you been entertaining? And so often it's been repressed for such a long time that oftentimes it just takes that little straw or that little drop, you know, that'll break the camel's back, and all of a sudden it explodes. But it has been repressed for so very, very long. And so that is one mm-hmm. of how people will experience frustration, you know, or anger from another person. Or the second reason is that they use their anger or their rage as a form of manipulation.
Yes.
Simply because I'm giving up and I want you to solve my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've reached the obstacle. I don't have a solution.
Yep.
And it's like a little child. I'm going to throw a fit.
Right. I've come to this. Oh, I love that, Bob. I've come to the obstacle. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to take a fit. And that's where that out of control rage, smashing plates, punching walls, right.
and
stuff happens.
And so people will use the phrase of uncontrollable rage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true. But what it is that over time you have practiced moving away from finding a solution.
Yes.
Finding a creative solution.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of, I mean, we all face these obstacles. Can we find a creative solution, or will we remain immature,
mm-hmm.
okay, and just simply have a fit and pass, you know, the responsibility onto another?
And I think that is such good wisdom right there. I'm just, as again, because we experienced this on a small scale today, what happened was I stopped making it about you and I made it about me, told you how I felt. But you know when it really, really, when I felt completely connected with you is I chose not to move away from you, like walk away.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I moved towards you, Bob. And remember when I just put my face into your neck and mm-hmm. I just held you
mm-hmm.
and I said, and you said, you've been kind of impatient. I said, yeah, I've been kind of impatient. But we hugged in silence for a while. And I just felt this melting come over both of us. And I just felt like the obstacle was dropped as we held each other. There's something about just moving towards each other and holding each other. Because I'm just saying, I know you love me and I know I love you. And if you hold each other in silence, and maybe it sounds like a too simple of a solution, but there's just something about, we're not robots. Right. Like touch.
But this is love being expressed because yeah. we want to be that safe place for one
right.
another.
Right.
And so all I'm saying is that you will experience irritation and
yeah.
frustration. Okay. Does yeah. it need to blow up to anger? You know,
no.
kind of, okay, we'll move on. But also I want you to begin to see this. Remember that you are on the same team.
Yes.
Stop viewing each other as opposing forces.
Yes.
And trying to persuade or over or to convince, you know, another person. You know, you're on the same team.
Yeah, just name
remember,
the yeah, name the obstacle. Let's hurdle this obstacle
yeah.
together instead of just being mad together about the obstacle. Let's just go ahead and hurdle this thing together and be on that same team. It sounds like the simplest thing in the world. And it starts with one person, both, you know, just saying, I'm going to move towards you instead of away from you. And yeah, I admit I've been a bit, you know what, this morning or whatever it was. So did you want to talk about anything else before I talk about what to do in the middle of that wave of what to do?
No, we can.
You want to go there?
Yeah, let's
okay,
keep moving
through. Because
what
I've been,
do you got?
Because I've been helping people. Now this is, we're going to kind of change gears a little bit. This isn't about just a minor little thing like what we're referring to here. This is when you've been betrayed. It's months.
Okay, yeah, before you go there.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I see
you
where
see
you're
I'm going
now.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to just pause because, again, then it's moving into the relationship.
Yes.
Where I still want to take personal responsibility.
Okay, let's stay with the individual.
Yes, mm-hmm. because I want to be able for the individual to develop the real them or the real
yes.
me.
Yes.
So within that, I know that for myself, mm-hmm. again, circumstances weren't my problem. I had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had a heart problem, and I was unable to see myself the way that God really saw me.
Hmm.
And so the way that we have helped individuals. Individuals in a relationship, individuals mm-hmm. in a marriage, you know, children in a home, is to help them to identify the real you or the yes. real me.
Yes.
And that is, you know, what is the truth of my identity, of my dignity mm-hmm. and worth in Jesus? You know, am I truly a child of God? You know, how forgiven am I really? And so identity has such a large part, you know, with this, because otherwise you're always striving and struggling to find that worth somewhere else.
Yeah, and this is the part of personal development. I feel like there's two things you can do in your personal development when it comes to anger. And the first one is what Bob was saying, establish the real me, which means take time. I don't care if it's on a phone, in a notebook, on a computer document, whatever it is, but write out the things that you know to be true about yourself. You know, first person, positive, this is the real me. Like for me, mine would say, you know what? I'm Audrey and I have it all just because I am his and he is mine. That means God, and his banner over me is love. And I've been chosen and created and designed by God to be his child. And I love my life and he is my song. And I could go on and on. I don't base my feelings on circumstances because my heart is whole and I live from the secret place in my heart. That's where I dwell. I smile a lot and I love to laugh because funny things happen and celebrating life comes natural to me. I dance because I treasure freedom. I mean, I could go on. Mm-hmm. I enjoy spacious places because my boundaries are established and secure. You enjoy spacious places when your fences are really strong, you know, because within that you can feel secure. I sleep in sweet peace because I'm safe in God's arms of love. And when loss happens, which it does in this world, I can cry, be with God, and know that his comfort fills every part of me and gives me even more beauty in exchange for ashes. And if disappointment shadows me, it's just because I was trying to control the process. Do you hear all how I'm just talking about Absolutely. The real me, yeah. you know? Oh, I love this. I don't have to control if a negative emotion emerges because I go to that secret place inside and ask God to show me the root of the emotion, because there's likely a place I need to be loved and that I'm not trusting enough and I'm forgetting who I am.
Yeah. This really is, you know, faith expressed. This yeah. is where I place my trust, because I'm beginning to see the end from the beginning.
That's faith. That's the definition that's of faith. The real yeah, definition.
This is the ultimate you, the real you.
Yeah.
With a healed heart, believing yes. what God says about you to be true. And because of that, then I have absolute confidence in whatever situation I'm in. Even in a world, you know, where there's so much uncertainty, mm-hmm. this, I am so secure in this place so very, very well.
So it might sound like, oh, Audrey, that sounds like is it arrogant? No, it's just confidence in taking time to write it down. What's meaningful to you? Yours yeah. will sound different than mine. I mean, yours right. sounds different than mine.
Yeah, there's a few statements that I have of mine. And one is, I am gentle, yeah. yet a strong leader.
Yeah.
I clearly see vision for the future and embrace God's wisdom to implement his plan for my life, my family, and ministry. I forgive easily.
Yes.
And I'm slow to get angry. Mm-hmm. I don't base my life on circumstances, for I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You see, again, this is me.
Yeah.
Positive, present tense, you know, first person. Mm-hmm. This is me. I live there every day in his presence. I don't have to react to circumstances because my heart is whole and healed. I don't have to react in bitterness and in judgment. I show mercy and I see the best in people. I tap into God's simple solutions for what seem to be complex problems. So, you know, that's just part of what I affirm. I choose to come into an agreement with God's view and opinion of me for my life. All of a sudden, when his realities become mine, no longer am I then agitated or frustrated when I'm met with complex situations
yeah.
or an obstacle where I don't have necessarily a simple solution yet. I have a confidence and a rest. I have a faith that is unwavering. And it's just like, you know what? We'll make it through this. We can do it.
Exactly. Can you imagine taking the time to invest in your personal development, to write out that real me for yourself? based on God's promises for you and who he's designed you to be. And it, as I said, it'll be very personal for you. But when you do, can you imagine thinking upon that, pondering it, reading those sentences over and over as you fall asleep, memorizing them as you walk down the street, as you're walking to the next thing, saying those things every as you're walking. I don't fear the future because God knows the future and he has gone before me.
This is you finding answers, simple solutions for the outcome or for the obstacles that you're observing or being faced with.
Years ago, part of the real me, Bob, was I laugh in the unknown and I thrive in uncertainty. And I created that line within the script of my real me because it was hard for me because I liked to plan and I felt most secure. So I thought, I've got to do the opposite of that and go, you know what? You know what? Because of God, I laugh in the unknown and I thrive in uncertainty.
Yeah. So I bring this up because when a person would describe themselves as reacting or responding in anger, you know, uncontrollable rage, it really does come from a place of not having developed maturity or proven character.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in many ways, it's time to grow up. I remember for you and me, Audrey, when we were going through our hardship.
Yeah.
And when Leo would come and he would just say to me, Bob, it's time to grow up.
Yeah.
That agitated me more than anything.
Yeah, it's kind of insulting.
It really was.
Yeah.
But there was a lack of character and maturity. You see, God wants to grow me up because he wants me to be able to sustain and carry his glory in the earth.
Right.
He wants me to be his representative of righteousness, of peace, and of joy, mm-hmm. and of love. You know, of harmony in the earth. He wants that to be me so that when I move into the promises of God, people look at me, and we've said this before, I believe that the commodity of the world, that the world will be, you know, clamoring for, looking for more than anything, I believe is peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having peace with God, peace with others, peace with myself. You know, peace with the season
with
that
we're
identity,
in. With your identity, yes, with the real me. Mm-hmm.
Boy, when we begin to live as an individual and a couple and a family of peace,
mm-hmm.
how contagious that is.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, when it comes to those anger and the rage in your personal development, it's up to you. This is not an easy assignment. Don't think for a second that we just did this one day and sat down. This took years of us developing. And,
but it's continual.
Yes.
And it changes.
And
but it's a journey to wholeness.
I find out where I need that positive affirmation of who I am. And I just start writing it down and focusing on it and giving it my attention.
Intention.
Yes.
Putting off the old, putting on the new, and the renewing of my mind. Because, again, we will feel tension. We will feel the agitation, the frustration, even the anger where there are injustice. But hold that tension. Because between the feeling and the action, what I want you to do is I want you to go just a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
You see, find that creative solution. Find that new answer. Allow God to really open your eyes to be able to see yourself, others, and even himself differently. And I believe that all of a sudden, that creative solution can come that is extremely harmonious.
Yeah, I love it. So in our personal development, establish the real me. The other one I had, Bob, under personal development that you can do without your spouse or without the other person is to resist the temptation to wear those glasses.
Okay.
Those, I call them judgment glasses because as soon as someone's done you wrong, it's like you pick up a pair of glasses and now you see them through that lens, that they're an idiot. They're insensitive. They weren't thinking of you. They were a moron. They treated you wrongly. That was unjust. You see, that's what those glasses say. But when you're reading that scripture, it says, I will believe the best. And as soon as you put those glasses on, that's all you see. The person who wronged you did this, and they shouldn't get away scot-free. They shouldn't be able to just move on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a mood around them and the coldness, and you have to have a hard heart. And that's exactly what those glasses do. If you choose to just wear those glasses every day, and I've met couples that were wearing those glasses for 25 years of you did this to me. And everything is through that lens. You did this to me. You should never, I should never have been treated like this. The truth is they shouldn't have treated you that way. That should not have happened. But you wearing the glasses is robbing and stealing from your quality of life.
Mm-hmm. It's because I want to, for the listener that's there,
yeah,
they've been hurt.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not just the individual that is wrestling through, you know, their angry thoughts or their angry feelings,
mm-hmm,
but there are those that have been unjustly hurt.
Yeah.
You know, they've been betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a previous abuse, whatever, yeah, it might be.
Right.
But I want you to be able to recognize that the anger and the hurt that you're feeling, that it can actually inform you that you actually do care.
True. True.
You see, the emotions that God gives us, you know, they really are for our benefit. The feelings that we feel, they're really for our benefit. They're very, very real, but they're not always true. And so I think a lot of times people get a little bit confused in that I am so angry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hear that one. I was that way. I am so angry. Well, no, there's been a betrayal. There's been an injustice. You've been wrongly mistreated. But now I want you to begin to see the other side of this, and that is why you're hurting so badly, I believe, is that this anger is just simply informing you of how much you actually care.
Yes.
And I know that there are individuals in a relationship right now, and they're fighting for their lifeline,
mm-hmm,
and they're hurting. And I just want to say thank you for caring. Mm-hmm. Caring enough to hurt, but then, mm-hmm, also caring enough to find the healing that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want that behavior to ever continue. And so, you know, it's that anger and that rage that says, no, I'm worth more than this.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not okay. And so a lot of times people get confused, you know, where they're like, well, I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to forgive. I get that. Absolutely. But just because you forgive doesn't mean that you condone another person's behavior. And it's like that has to stop. And so this is where, you know, these emotions can be a gift. But I want you to recognize that there's a place of care.
Mm-hmm. That you do care. It's just an indicator, yeah, that you really care.
I do care about you.
Yes.
You're the one that I am so angry at. But I really care about,
yes,
you. I care about us.
I want
us.
This relationship
I
to work.
I care about our family.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So that's really in personal development. That stuff, you can't, it's not stuff that you do in the middle of the wave. So you know that wave of anger you've just been injected with that, mm-hmm, needle? This is stuff you do to develop yourself throughout your days and your weeks and using, yeah, your time wisely to be satisfied in God's love. But
what most people don't know, you know, when dealing with the anger and the rage is that they have a choice.
Yeah.
You actually do have a choice.
Mm-hmm. You have a choice. And so the other thing that I'd like to talk,
sure,
about is in the middle of it. What do you do when you're already turned the corner and you're already feel like someone injected you with that needle and now you're going to be stupid for the next 20 minutes or something like that because you're feeling angry? I really want to help you with this part too, because I think that there's something very important to understand. In the middle of that wave, the anger wave, you can have a choice within that too.
Always.
And you'll
always
say, well, how?
Always.
It's like, it's in me. Now I've turned the corner and I'm feeling super rage and I want to punch a wall or something. And that's when I would love to invite you to this thing that we call emotional freedom technique. And what it is it's giving, it's stopping the energy that's flowing through your body. When you're feeling angry, you tap into adrenaline and chemicals that are going to start energizing you in a bad way that'll motivate you to do things that are very erratic and very strong and very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'd love for you to do is it's called tapping, but you just find you actually interrupt the energy source within your physical body. It's a biological thing you can do. It's just underneath your and on your chest bone, right below your collarbone. Just take four of your fingers in a row and just start tapping underneath there and then say a script. Now, let me tell you about this script. The script is really important because You have to give room for your feelings. So even though, so this is you, this is your script. Even though I'm feeling, don't say angry because that's a secondary emotion. Even though I'm feeling highly misunderstood or mm-hmm. unheard, or maybe even though I'm feeling really alone in this right now, but mm-hmm. make it an emotion that's not angry, because the anger is the obvious one. What is underneath that anger?
Correct.
Even though I'm feeling so alone right now. Mm. And then the next line is, the truth is, even though I'm feeling really alone right now, the truth is, because God loves me, I am absolutely being held by Him and I am never alone. And then keep tapping, you're stopping the energy and you're going to say it again. Even though I'm feeling completely alone right now, the truth is I am never alone because God promised mm-hmm. me that His presence was always with me and He is my best friend. And then you just start to settle, that keep tapping, keep settling. This is just a practical way to deal with the wave when you're right in the middle of it. Yeah. It's not the long-term answer. No. The long-term answer is developing your the real me.
Correct.
Not wearing mm-hmm. the glasses all day mm-hmm. and thinking about that person in a certain way. But in the middle of it, there is something you can do. Mm-hmm. And all of this is part of our Marriage 911 course. We actually teach people about EFT or emotional Correct. Freedom technique, because we know that Marriage 911 means there's been a betrayal, there's been an injustice,
you're hurt.
And you're really hurt. Right. So we have to help you.
And it's like a pain wave you know, that hits you.
And we would not be doing our job if we didn't help you through that and just say, oh, get over it. Like, no, there's something you can do within the middle of that to bring the calm into that moment so that you can rethink the process.
Yeah. It's in those moments, Audrey, where it's almost, you know, it feels like a tsunami, you know, mm-hmm. that anger wave that just mm-hmm. kind of overtakes you.
Mm-hmm.
But listener, I don't want you to forget that God knows you
mm-hmm.
and He knows your pain. He's familiar with it and that He walks with you. And what I don't want you to do is to oppose Him mm-hmm. in this moment. And so what Audrey just shared with you is really a way for you to acknowledge, you know, for yourself, simply, God, I need you.
Yeah.
You know, and what you're doing is you are giving a voice to the pain.
Yes.
You see, to the feelings.
A release even.
Yeah,
you're
giving that. Rather than just saying, I shouldn't be feeling this. I got to stop this. I need to. No. Even though I feel this way, this is what I know to be true.
Yeah.
This is what I know to be true. And then all of a sudden, you just really begin to sense His presence.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's surprising how grateful you can become.
Yeah. And so as we close today, I just want to speak right to you that you don't want to have a hard heart.
No.
Not just because of your relationship, yeah. but because of you. Because when you need to protect yourself, it makes you build like a brick wall around your heart. And that's not quality of life to have a big wall around you. But when you experience the love of God, let Him be your shield. So maybe your tapping would be, even though I'm feeling unprotected and really vulnerable right now, the truth is that Jesus, you are my shield. Mm-hmm. You keep me protected in a bubble. And then you can breathe again. Because having a hard heart erodes your personal quality of life. But you can create your personal abundant life from your infinite source with His Jesus. Allow Him to love you in your pain, because you might think you're angry, but really you're just hurt. Yeah. So let God love you there. And you might be scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Behind that anger, most often is someone who has been hurt and someone who is scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, I recognize I feel this, but then I'm going to go deeper mm-hmm. than that. I will take personal responsibility. And I'm going to find a creative solution. I'm not going to avoid, and I'm not going to deflect responsibility here, but I'm going to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, you know, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is a safe place of shelter.
Yes.
For it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as a defeat, for it never gives up.
I love it. I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you feel super loved by this. When we started today, I said, Bob, the reason we do this podcast is because we want We want to love you. We want to love you and help you and get those solutions. And we want to cheer you on and say, yeah, we get it. It's hard when you lose control when it comes to anger and rage, but we don't want it. We want you to experience God's love so that you can truly find resolve.
Yeah. And if you're celebrating an anniversary last month, this month, next month, you know, sometime during the summer, I just want to say happy anniversary.
Yes. Yes.
Take a moment to truly celebrate the love of your life.
Yep.
Thanks, everyone, for joining
us. Love never stops loving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, you can visit our website, lovemarriedlife.com. We have e-courses as well as e-books that you can download there. Be sure to share the podcast with others. Give a thumbs up, comment, however it is. I'm told that it helps. But the Lord bless you. And again, thank you for investing in your own heart and life. And peace to all of you.
Bye-bye.